Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's not Jim, by the way, today. Our minister, Reverend James Campbell, is on holidays at the moment. So he's asked a few of us to step in. You'll see me this morning, and hopefully this evening, 7 o'clock, you'll see our very own Reverend Michael Bostock will be speaking tonight at 7 o'clock, so it'll be good to see you there too. Also, just a wee announcement for session and committee, to let you know that the autumn newsletter is available in the session room for collection. So make sure you get that after the service today, if you could. And also another announcement, I think it must be the last one of the Holy Bible Clubs, especially through the Presbyterian churches anyway. This week it's at Scrabble Presbyterian Church in the West Winds from Monday to Friday. There's a games afternoon for children aged 4 to 11, between 2:30 and 3:30. And then later on, it's the Holy Bible Club between 6:30 and 8:00. And then there's also an older version, 11 to 18 year olds, from 8:30 to 10 o'clock, if they're allowed to stay out that late. And then there's a service on the 25th. It's about Steps of Faith, about King Josiah. So if you can make it, I'm sure they'd be happy to see you coming along. Another announcement, the last of our announcements, it's with regret that I have to announce the death of another of our senior members, Mrs. Phoebe McComiskey of 25 Ascot Park, Newton Ards. There was a service of thanksgiving held in the church just last Thursday. And I suppose this day we want to remember her daughter Helen and the wider family circle in our thoughts and prayers at this sad time. So, Jim came to me about 3 weeks ago, and he asked me to take this service, and I agreed, and asked him what he wanted me to preach on. We're very technical, so it was via email, and Jim actually responded via email as well, which is really technical. But he gave me an answer that I don't really like from Jim. He says, whatever you like. He thinks he's being helpful, but there's quite a lot to choose from. So in the mornings, I'm going through this book from Tim Keller. It's a book of Proverbs, so I thought I might cover one or two of those. But that all changed on Friday morning, the 9th of August, at some time between 6:30 and 7 o'clock in the morning. We were just recovering in the car from saving our tent from strong winds and driving rain. And Emma suggested that we should cover teamwork together this morning, and I agreed only after she offered to demonstrate teamwork by taking the children's address. So this morning we're going to look at what God teaches us about teamwork from his word, why it's so important to him, and why it's so important for us. Well, we're going to stand in teamwork fashion and sing together. We're going to stand to sing Praise is Rising.
Thank you.
So let's turn to that God we've been singing about. Let's turn to God in prayer. Lord, we come before you, the creator of heaven and earth, the Lord of lords and King of kings. We're both amazed and humbled that you choose to listen to us, that you choose to be here with us today. Lord, you're already here. Help us to feel your presence here today. Help us to be encouraged by your love and challenged by your word. Because we're not just here to keep a habit or earn your favor. We're not just killing time or meeting up with friends. We're here to worship the living God who made the way for us to do this by your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for us to bridge the gap to you that we could never have crossed. Lord, thank you for your amazing grace. Your amazing, never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love. Open our minds and our hearts to you this morning, Lord. Please take away all distractions and the sins that so easily entangle, so that we can hear you, so that we can be changed by you today. Remind us to love your word and love your praise, as it's how you communicate to us freely. So help us now by your Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to turn to God's word. And we're going to read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. In the NIV, the old version I've got is, it's imitating Christ's humility. Reading from verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And now, if the children can make your way forward, I know it's summertime, so maybe not that many, but if you make your way forward, Emma's going to come and speak to you now.
Good morning. Ryan's coming. We'll wait for Ryan. Oh, my microphone keeps flapping around. We're going to start a campaign to get a Brittany mic, because I really want a face mic. Then we'll have no problems flapping around. Good morning. Well, it's the last full week off school. How do we feel about that? Sad. A wee bit sad. How do the parents feel about that? Not so sad, I don't think. It's been good having summer, hasn't it? Yeah. Well, I'm going to squeeze a last wee bit. When I was younger, I used to want to be a teacher. And then I changed my mind, I was a physio, and you know, when it gets to June every year, I wish I hadn't changed my mind. Because I haven't been off work all summer, which is a shame. Now the teachers deserve it, I do think they do deserve it. But I am going to have a couple of days off work tomorrow, because I am going to do something quite exciting, well I think it is anyway. And I'm going to go and help some of our slightly older young people in their Duke of Edinburgh. Okay, so some of our BB boys and two of our GB girls are going tomorrow to do their Duke of Edinburgh bronze expedition in the Mourne Mountains. And it's very, very exciting. Okay, so I've started to get my rucksack ready to go. Okay, and there's going to be two teams of them. Now, they're not racing, but they're in teams. Okay, so there's, I think, about five of them in each group or each team together. Okay, now, their aim is they've got a map and they've got a route to follow. And what they have to do is work together as a team to walk for 3 hours and go from one place to Tullymore. Okay, and they've got to try and work together to get there. Now, tell me this. Do you think would it be a good idea if one of them decided to kind of have a wee wander off on their own and think, I can't really do with this group, I'm going to do it myself. What do you think? No. No. Why would it not be a good idea in the middle of the Mourne Mountains, Ryan?
Because you get stuck somewhere and then you won't have any way to get out.
Has that happened to you before?
No.
It's happened to me before. Whenever I did my Duke of Edinburgh, I remember going into this big bit and I was walking along and all of a sudden went woof down into a big marshy bit. And I needed people to pull me out. So if they did that, would they be able to get out?
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't be able to get out. Why else would it not be a good reason to wander off on your own? Can you think in the mountains, why would it not be a good idea? Yeah.
You might get lost.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you maybe were the one that didn't have the map. That wouldn't be a great idea, would it? No, so you might get lost. You might get stuck somewhere. You might fall down, not be able to get up again. Yeah. It's not great to wander off on your own, is it? And you know, the Bible tells us that back in the book of Ecclesiastes, which is way in the old part of the Bible, a very wise man wrote something. And I'm going to read it to you. And this is from the Contemporary English Version because it's a wee bit easier to understand. It says, "Once again, I saw that nothing on earth makes sense. For example, some people don't have any friends or family, but they are never satisfied with what they own, and they never stop working to get more. And they should ask themselves, why am I always working to have more? Who is going to get what I leave behind? What a senseless and miserable life. You are better to have a friend than be all alone, because then you will get more enjoyment out of what you earn. And if you fall, like we just said, your friend can help you up. But if you fall without having a friend nearby, you are really in trouble. If you sleep alone, you won't have everyone to keep you warm. It's going to be quite cold, I think, on Monday night. And the boys will be in one tent, the two girls will be in another tent, and they'll help keep each other warm, won't they? Yeah, absolutely. It says, you won't have anyone to keep you warm on a cold night if you wander off on your own. Someone might be able to beat you up. Hopefully, that's not going to happen in the mountains. But not both of you. As the saying goes, a rope made with 3 strands of cord is hard to break. So the Bible tells us that it's not good to be on our own. It's good to be part of a team, isn't it? It's good to be part of a team. And I thought we're a bit like a team here in First Ards. All of us, all the grown-ups together, we're all part of a team, aren't we? Now, we're missing some members of our team, aren't we, today? But they're still part of our team, even when they're not here. And why is it good for us to be part of a team together in church, a part of God's team? Why do you think? Because sometimes I hear people say, God's everywhere. I don't need to come to church to worship God. I can do that on my own at home. What do we think about that? Maybe big people, what do we think about that as well? Because we hear people say it. Why do we need to come to church? To be part of this team together? What do you think? Do you think we can help each other out? Yeah, I think so. Sometimes you might come, you might feel a bit sad, but you might meet a friend who's going to make you feel happier. You might be able to share what's been making you sad. You might be having a problem that somebody goes, do you know what? I can help you with that problem. Yeah. So we can be a team in church. We can be a team together. You might be a team in Lighthouse. You might be a team in BB and GB and CA and all those organisations. But we're all part of a big team. Now, back a few years ago, just a few years ago, whenever I did my Duke of Edinburgh. Okay. It's just a few years ago. When I did my Silver Duke of Edinburgh, we were in the morning. Oh, James, did you just whisper a long time ago? You're quite right. It was a long time ago. Whenever I was in the Mourns, I did my Duke of Edinburgh, and I was part of a team. Okay, Rebecca, come here a minute. Come here. So I wasn't very tall. Now, Rebecca, compared to her friends, is not very tall, but you know what? I was even smaller than Rebecca is at her age, and I was a bit older when I did my Duke of Edinburgh. And I didn't have a rucksack like this. I had borrowed a rucksack from my Uncle Ian, and it was a massive rucksack. Okay. Rebecca turned round. The rucksack came up to my head and down to there. Okay. So if you were behind me, all you could see was these little legs walking along. So I had a massive rucksack. And before we got together for our Duke of Edinburgh, we started to pack all our stuff. Now, what kind of things do you think you would need to go camping, Ryan?
A tent,
absolutely. Do you think one person can carry that tent on their own?
Yeah.
It's really heavy. So you had to divide up the bits of tent. What else do you need?
Water.
Yeah, might need to bring some water.
Yeah.
Food, absolutely.
Ryan? Sleeping bag.
Yep. Grace? Well, do you know what? We didn't have air beds. We were posh camping now, Grace. But we just had a roll-up mat, but it was kind of a bit like that. Well, do you know what? I'll let you into a secret, Stephen. We didn't have mobile phones whenever I did my Duke of Edinburgh. I know, that's how old I am. But you know what you did have? 10p, in case you needed to use the phone, okay? You wouldn't even find a phone nowadays. So 10p yet, Ryan?
A GPS.
Didn't have them?
No.
Didn't exist?
No,
didn't have them. They weren't even invented at that stage. That's how old I am. So we needed all that stuff, and we had to share it out. We had trangies to cook on. We had pots and pans. One person couldn't carry all that stuff on their own, could they? So we had a meeting to divide it all out. And I had a massive rucksack. And there was two girls on our team, and they kept saying, I can't fit anything more in my rucksack. You're going to have to take that. You've got a big rucksack. I can't fit anything else. You've got a big rucksack. Okay. So we got to the Duke of Edinburgh and I put my rucksack on. It was really heavy and these little legs were walking along and we were nearly finished and we got to Trassie River. Okay. And I went to cross it and my foot went whoop and my rucksack was so heavy. I went on my back like a turtle. Okay. Now luckily the river wasn't very deep, but one of the teachers was there because they were meeting us to check we were doing the right thing. And he went to pull me up and he said, how heavy is your rucksack? What have you got in there? Make sure when you get to camp, you share that out. So we got to camp. And I knew what was in my rucksack because I had taken on lots of things because the girls couldn't fit anything in their rucksacks, they told me. So Rebecca's going to help me unload it. So the girls opened their rucksack and they had their sleeping bag, which was fine. Okay, you can put that down, Rebecca. Okay, and they pulled out maybe some baby wipes because there wasn't any shower. And they had carried some nice rice with us. And some super noodles, which is the staple of any camping. And they brought their clothes, and they brought their head torches. And then, these two girls reached into their bag, and they pulled out this. They pulled out a massive, massive tin. And in the tin, they had biscuits, they had sweeties. Was it to share with the group? No. It was for them to eat in their tent. And they had filled up their bags, so meant other people had to carry far more. What do we think of that as teamwork? Was it good? It wasn't a great example of teamwork. Sure, it wasn't. They were thinking about their bellies at night time in bed, but they weren't thinking of the team. And as David has just read to us from the book of Philippians, the Bible tells us something about a team. What should we be like if we're on a team? Should we be looking out for ourselves?
No.
Absolutely. And who is the best example of how to do that?
Jesus.
That's right. Jesus, it said, be like Jesus. Be humble. Okay, that means not putting yourself first. Thinking of other people. Don't be carrying that massive big biscuit tin when it means other people have to carry other things. So how do you think we can be like that as a team? Can we look out for each other? Yeah. Can we pray for each other? Yeah, because the purpose of the Duke of Edinburgh team is to get to their goal. What's the purpose of our team in First Ards? It's to show the love of Jesus to each other and the people outside the church building. So we want to get so good at working together as a team, putting other people first. What a lovely world would that be to live in, wouldn't it? Yeah, brilliant. You've listened really, really well. And as a treat, I'll let you take those out and share them. See, I've learned from Bill Shaw, bribe the children and then they like you. Okay, I've forgotten what song we're singing, David. We're going to sing Big Family of God. Okay, so pop up on your feet.
Sometimes
Yeah, hadn't seen the video do that bit before. Thank you very much, Emma. Thanks very much for getting involved. Grace, you remember to share those? I'm being serious. I'm not sure if that was a serious one or not. Just when the kids are going out there, we're going to respond to God with our offering. Your offering will now be received. Let's pray. Lord, please accept these gifts as we acknowledge that we're simply giving back to you what you've already given to us. Lord, please use them for your glory. Lord, I want to take this time to think of all those who suffered the loss of a loved one. Whether recent or some time ago, the pain of loss is real and can be difficult to deal with. Lord, we thank you that you understand how we feel, as Jesus showed when he cried for his friends. Lord, you don't just empathize, but Lord, you heal our hearts. And we pray for that healing now as we think of those affected or for ourselves. Lord, our country is full of people who experience loss due to the Troubles. Sadly, many are looking for peace in the wrong places, and still others are still looking for revenge and not peace. Lord, please help us to move beyond bitterness and towards lasting peace, the peace that only comes through you, through faith in your Son, Jesus. Lord, that's the peace that we need. That passes all understanding. How badly we need this peace throughout our world. As we hear of more conflicts, of wars, of violent protests, mass shootings, suicide bombings throughout the world, Lord, we ask for your peace. We ask for you to end suffering. Only you are capable of this. And may we see your kingdom come to achieve this. Lord, hear our prayers and amaze us as you keep your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to stand to sing two pieces. The first piece we're going to sing, you'll have heard within Philippians 2, and it's At the Name of Jesus. And then we're going to move from that song into Meekness and Majesty. So if you could stand to sing. So Emma was reminiscing a wee bit there earlier. So I'm going to have a wee trip to the nostalgia for you as well. Do you remember learning spellings and your times tables at school? No? You can't remember? Do you remember? Yes, you do. You're very, very good. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and give me your 12 times tables, although Raymond was practicing at Holy Bible Club. He's very, very good at it. He's very, very good. Do you remember repeating them over and over and over again until they stayed in your brain? I remember being made, it's 11 times tables actually. I remember having to sit at the dining room table. I think it was my dad, went over and over again with me. 11 times 11 was always the annoying one. But repetition is a key learning aid because it helps, if you look on Google, it helps transition a skill or facts from the conscious to the subconscious. Just becomes part of you. And as I'm sure we all have read from Aristotle, it is frequent repetition that produces a natural tendency. Now, my studies of Aristotle aren't extensive. So I learned from another guy. Now, I couldn't get a really good photograph of him, but there's a guy in the middle there who's always wore a big tie, big red tie with a massive cross just right in the middle of it. He's called Evenson, and we met him when we were in Kenya. And he'd been a teacher at that stage for close to about 50 years. And he was adamant, and he said it over and over again to us to make his point, that repetition is the key to all learning. And he repeated that many times. Well, God definitely wants us to learn about teamwork and to make it second nature, because it's repeated so many times in the Bible. Right from the start of the Bible to the end, God constantly repeats the importance of teamwork by covering unity, service, family, and teamwork over and over again. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God declares that it's not good for Adam to be alone, so he made Eve. Not so they could just hang out in the Garden of Eden, just chill, read a good book side by side, maybe do the crossword. Sudoku wasn't invented then, as far as I understand. No, Eve was created to be his fellow worker. It was the birth of teamwork. The Bible goes on to show us good examples and bad examples of teamwork. And then God takes time to repeat the message throughout the Old and New Testament. You're better together. Now, Emma read from I think it was Contemporary English Version. I'm going to read from NIV. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. It's quite often read at teamwork events we call weddings. In fact, it was actually read at our wedding from that lectern by a younger Ian Ritchie just a few years ago. Let me read it for you now. That should be up on the screens. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken, or not easily broken. And that last verse is usually used to explain how marriages are made stronger with God in the middle, having God in the relationship as the third strand. And that's what Jim preached when I was at our wedding. But this is true of all our relationships. And what God is trying to teach us about teamwork in the Bible. So hopefully this morning we're going to see, not just from Philippians chapter 2, that teamwork is about unity, to be united in faith and service, that Christ shows us how to work as a team. And then we're going to spend a wee bit of time thinking about, well, what does teamwork look like for us? So this is a picture of our tent. The one on your left was from a couple of years ago. Just to give you an idea of the size of the tent, as the technical data spec says, she's big. Not only is she long, but she's wide. And she's pretty tall. She's not Stephen Clark tall, but she's pretty tall, and you can stand inside her, which is good. It's a 6-man tent, plenty of room for living in and passing the time on a rainy day. But this size is a bit of a problem in strong winds and gusts of up to 50 miles an hour, as we found out from 1 o'clock in the morning 2 Fridays ago. The tent started shaking as the wind got worse until around 3 a.m. when the tent started to collapse in at the back, which we were able to realize when it started hitting our heads. And at 4 o'clock, it got really bad. Teamwork-wise, Emma and I were aware the kids were fast asleep. But at 4 o'clock, when the pegs get lifted out of the back of the tent and the whole back of the tent fell down, a couple of screams made us realize that the kids were awake. So Emma and I got out of the tent to the refreshing sensation of strong winds in your face and heavy rain. For half an hour, I held the tent up with the back guy rope while Emma secured our belongings and put the kids in the car because we had some water leaking into the tent. And between 4:30 and 5:30, Emma and I literally stood in the wind and rain holding up our tent while nearly every other camper packed up and went home. Some stayed in their cars to look at us, which was nice. Eventually, we were released from our endurance test when a fellow camper got out of his car and helped secure the back guy rope with some baler twine. Always have baler twine, I've learned. He tied it to the farmer's fence, and then the winds eased slightly. And that picture there was taken from inside our car. I could not have held up the tent on my own, as big and strong as I am. And it was funny because between 1 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the morning, we were both praying for our tent to stay up during the night. But we didn't realize that God wanted us to be part of that solution. We were united in our goal, standing in the rain, holding up our tent. Our goal was to save the tent and to protect our children. And that's the unity that Paul was asking of the church of Philippi. And that's what God's asking of us in ours too. To be united in faith and service to achieve a common goal. In verse 2, Paul says, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind." And before that, in verse 1, Paul challenged the church to think about faith, to think about the evidence of their faith and their service in their lives. And essentially he asked them a few questions. He said things like, "Do you appreciate being united with Jesus through faith? Do you appreciate his love? Are you thankful for the Holy Spirit? Are you thankful for what Jesus has done? Do you care about other people?" And then in verse 2 he says, "Well, be of the same mind or one mind as the other believers." Now this doesn't mean that we are to be like robots and have exactly the same feelings on everything and to be dressed exactly the same and look exactly the same. Some kind of uniformity like that. Instead, we are to have the same focus, the same goal of bringing glory to God by using our different gifts, using our different personalities, but in an agreeable and cooperative spirit. That's what unity means. When Em and I were keeping the tent up, we had different roles. I was holding the back guy, she was holding the, well, I'm falling over a few times, was holding the side of the tent because of the way the wind was changing. But we had the same goal, keep the tent up. Christian teamwork is much the same. We all have different roles, but it's the same goal, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But it's more than just one person or each person finding their own individual way of telling others about Jesus or their own individual way of showing practical love to our community. It's about all believers working in unity, having the same love for Christ and for each other, and being united by the same Holy Spirit. That's what God calls proper teamwork. And I suppose the question for us is that what we're doing in First Arts? Are we united in love for Christ and love for each other? Are we all working together towards the same goal of glorifying God by sharing His kingdom and love to our community and to further afield? And if we're not, then what's stopping us? Most times, it's ourselves. See, there's always a temptation to do things out of selfish ambition. Or sometimes it's to look good. If the media is to be believed, I'm not so sure it is anymore, every so often we hear of certain celebrities who get annoyed that the Queen isn't recognising their charity work with an OBE or a knighthood. That's not the reason to do charity work. Or I'm sure maybe you know someone who does something good and helpful, but make sure that everybody knows about it. And if you don't, maybe you are that person. See, I think we all are at times without even realising. And that's why Paul warns us in verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. You see, because Paul realises that our natural inclination, our natural tendency, is to look after number one. So he offers a radical solution. Put others first and value them more. Now, he didn't just get that from himself. He then goes on to explain where he got this from. Well, before we think about that, maybe you're like I was, and you think, I don't do anything in church or for God out of selfish ambition or just to look good. That's not what I'm about. Well, put it to a couple of tests. Do you ever get annoyed when no one recognises your work in church? Whatever it is, do you get annoyed? Or another question, would you immediately put another organisation's needs before your own if it came to a date or a time clash? It's difficult. And that's why Paul advises us in verse 5 to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. In verses 6 to 11, Paul goes on to describe how Jesus humbled himself to serve us and to pay the price for us on the cross. Ultimately, Jesus had the same goal as we should have, that all would acknowledge him as King, and that brings glory to God the Father. Jesus showed us how to practice true teamwork, humility. It's only by valuing others more than ourselves and by looking to others' needs before ours that we can truly follow Jesus' example. I find this very challenging. And I ask you the same question. Are we humble in our service to God? Are we humble in our teamwork? See, it's easier for us to show humility to others when we're humbled by what Jesus has done for us. And that's why we should remind ourselves often, that's why we come to church, about how Jesus humbled himself for us as we pray for more humility to help us in our teamwork. So what does teamwork look like for us? If teamwork is about being united by one goal and trying to work that out with humility, what does it actually look like for us in the here and now? Well, let me share three ideas found elsewhere in the Bible. The first one I'll look at is we're asked to go and do something. We're asked to encourage each other. And we're asked to endure together. I'm not shouting at you by putting exclamation marks in, by the way. The first one to look at is in John 17, 20 to 23. This is actually Jesus praying for us. Jesus had just been at the start of John 17 praying for his disciples. And then he stops or moves forward into praying for us to come. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, the message of the disciples, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Do you notice Jesus' repetition for us? Unity's in there twice, but so too is our commission to share Jesus with the world, to show by our Christian teamwork who Jesus is. And that's the challenge. How are we working as a team to show Jesus to the world, to that world out there, never mind the big world? Specifically, what are you doing? See, we all have different roles, as we have different skills and different gifts. But you need to do something. There's no opt-out clause when you follow Jesus. There's no age limit. There's no height requirement. There's no retirement age. Yes, the work will change over the years, but there still must be work for Jesus. As somebody told me one time, you've got all eternity in heaven, the rest. But others in this world won't. And your teamwork could help to change that story by God's grace. So what are you doing? And what are you going to do for Jesus? Now don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about works-based salvation. I'm not talking about working enough for Jesus to save us. I'm talking about when you've accepted the gift of Jesus and what he's done for you, how are you going to respond? The next thing we could do is encourage each other. The best teams I've ever played in or worked with encourage each other, in good times or bad. And Hebrews 10:24-25 covers that for church teamwork, when it says, and should be on the screen there, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching," the day of Christ's return. So two things are asked of us here: to speak up to encourage people, and then to be here to actually do that. Let's not give up meeting together. So let's not. Not with flimsy excuses, as we need to be here to encourage each other. Again, this is a command, not a request. I suppose how I was challenged in this is, do you encourage when you're here? See, we can't just get out of this because we're from Northern Ireland. That's not like us to do that. That's not like us to actually take the time out to actually go to someone and give an encouragement. I think because it's not like us, whenever somebody does come and give you encouragement, it really means something to you. Who are you encouraging? We can't just leave it to the one or two people who are really good at it. And we all know at least one person who's really good at it in this church. But I can't just leave it all to her. It has to be for others too. Lastly, let's endure together. Romans 15 verses 5 to 6. "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." One mind. Let's not forget that God helps us to endure as we work together. Anytime you think, "I just can't do this anymore," remind yourself that this is true, but God is here to help you endure. You're not doing this alone. He's the God of endurance. Maybe you've taken on too much, or maybe you just feel that you have. Come to your team for help. This is your team. That's what we're here for. And if you're tempted to give up, please remember that you serve the God of endurance first before you make any decisions. If you're giving up because things are not going your way, that's when we have to remember it's not about us. It's about our common goal of glorifying God. And if you feel you want to stop serving somewhere because it's not for you, then that's fine. But where else will you serve? We're called to endure at teamwork. So let's do that. The God of endurance has got this, and he's got you. He's got you in his hand. Don't forget that. So that's what God has been challenging me with for about a week or so. Especially every time I've remembered, either from checking around my arm where the rope was tied around, or from looking at these hands don't do much work outside, like, so whenever I saw the marks on them from the rope, what are we doing? What am I doing? He's challenged me to think about my role in the teamwork that he's called us to do. He's challenged me to think about my humility or my lack of it in the service within this church. He's challenged me in terms of what I'm doing, how I encourage or how I don't encourage, and how I endure. And what about you? How have you been challenged? See, Jesus made a way for us to be united with him, to be united with each other as we serve our Heavenly Father. That is amazing grace. So let's focus and respond to God's word now with a hymn that's a rally call to the church to stand together and to work as a team. Let's stand together to sing, O Church, Arise. Lord, we thank you that we don't do this alone. Lord, we thank you that we do this together. And we do this with the God of all endurance. Lord, help us to be more like your Son, Jesus. Help us by your Holy Spirit to glorify you. And let that be our common goal. Let that unite us as we stand here with our team, our family, ready to work for you, for your glory and not our own, putting others' needs ahead of ourselves, like Christ modeled. Lord, and before we leave, let us say the benediction together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.